Tonight's shiur, Parshas Pinchas. The end of last week's Sedra, Balak, the Midrash, relates that a number of Nisim happened to Pinchas when he went in and he killed Zimri and Cosby. Different shitas we'll see, Mezrat Hashem, later, how many Nisim occurred. Targum Yonas and Menuziel says there's 12. Others say there's a Gemara that says 6. Others say 10. The number of Nisim. The first Nase that happened, though, was that Zimri and Cosby didn't separate. That when Pinchas came in, they didn't separate, and he killed them together as one. And the reason for that Nase was because in order for Pinchas to be able to kill Zimri and Cosby, mitzad the din of Kenaim Pogimbo, it has to be that they're in the middle of the act. So therefore, if they would separate, he wouldn't be able to kill. So the question is asked, but what do I need this? So let them separate, and then he wouldn't kill them, and he wouldn't need all these nisim to happen after that. And it was, why was it necessary that they should be together so he could kill? Good, so let them be separate, he won't kill. So Yaakov Galinsky, Shlita, says, because how did Pinchas get in there anyway? Here he went into the tribe of Shimon, when they're doing these terrible things. How was he able to get in there? So they say that he came on the guise that he wants to join in with them. He came in and says, hey, can I do that too? Said, oh, you want to do this also? Oh, sure, come right in. So Mimeli says, if they would have separated, what would have happened? He wouldn't have been allowed to kill them, right? If he would have killed them when they're not in the act, then he doesn't have to do a Knaim Pogimbo, then it would be some murder. So he wouldn't have been able to kill them. So what would have been left with? Bizionos. Here he said, can I come in and join you? He went in and he wouldn't have killed them, and it would have been this left. He came in to join them, and that would have been the end of it. It would have been big Bizionos for him. So therefore, in order to avoid this happening, and Nesat Abner, they should stay together, so he could kill them, and they saw that he was just pulling their leg when he said he was coming in to join. Okay, so we said before, there's a machloikis in how many nisim occurred at this to Pinchas. The Chida relates, as we said, some say there's 10, some say 12, some say 6, the Gemara says. So the Chida says they're all merumas in the word shalom. Right, it says in the pasuk lachein emor hinini nosein lo as brisi shalom. So the word shalom is written with a vav ktia. Right, so inevitably, you get people that don't know so much, that they get an aliyah, a kohen, and it's happened to me before. They have a kohen, get the first aliyah, and the Baal Kori is reading, and goes, oh, mistake, the vav, it's a cut in the vav. It's supposed to be that way. So that's a vav ktia. Anyways, there's a machloikis in how to write this vav ktia. Okay, one way is that you write it like a yud, like a yud. Another way is that you write it like two vavs, one on top of the other, two little vavs. And the other shita is you write it like a regular vav. And these three ways is a remiss to the three way machloikis of how many nisim happen to Pinchas. The ones that said it was 10 nisim, that's a yud. That's what the vav looks like, a little yud. The one that says 12 was like one vav on top of the other. Vav and vav, 6 and 6 is 12. And the one that says 6 nisim is the one that hold that that's just a plain vav is written. So remiss to all the three shitas. The Maharal Diskin says that, makes it interesting, that the Tosfos in Zvachim and Daf Kufalov, and the Pasuk is Brisi Shalom, we just said, points out that all the Kohanim Gdolim came from Pinchas. In the first time of the first Beis HaMikdash, there were 80 Kohanim Gdolim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there were 300. So altogether, 80 plus 300 is 380. And this is Merumaz in Esbrisi Shalom, right? Because we said that one of the ways of writing Shalom is Shin Lamed instead of Vav, a Yud. So Shin Lamed, Yud Mem, in Gematria is 380. So this Brisi Shalom that he said the Kahuna should come from, and more than that, all the Kohanim Gedolim, it says the Maharal Diskin is Merumas in the word Shalom, which is Red Shalim. Not Red Shalim, but is spelt that way. Okay. Next. The name Pinchas, your person on the street, his name is Pinchas, I'll probably spell his name, Pei Nun Ches Samach. But in the Torah, if you look in here, Pinchas is spelled with an extra yud. Pei Yud Nun Ches Samach. So where did this extra yud come from? So the son name of Rav Shlomo Sobel, based on the Gemara in Tainus. The Tainus says, Dav Zayin, that somebody who has anava is zochet to Torah. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the epitome of anava, Ish Moshe anav meod, right? And of course he was zochet to Torah. Now, the Gabe, this Indian over here with the Pinchas and killing Zimri, the Midrash tells us, right, that first Pinchas came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us that, if a man lives a Gentile woman, Kanayim Pogimbo, didn't you teach us that? And Moshe had forgotten the halacha. So he said, okay, you thought of it, you do it. So Mela, what do we see here? Moshe, he forgot a little bit of the Torah over here. So Mela, a little bit of the Anava was eliminated. And therefore, in the Pasuk, Ve'ish Moshe Anav Me'od, if you notice, the word Anav is spelled without a Yud. It's Chasur the Yud. So where did this Yud go to? To Pinchas. Because Pinchas remembered the Halacha. He knew the Halacha. Mela with his Torah, there's Anava. So he chapped the Torah over here. So he got an extra Yud of the Anava from Moshe Rabbeinu and put in his name Pinchas. There's a famous Vort from the Gra that is applied over here. Says the Gra says it l'gabe machatzis hasheka. Okay, this is a little bit hard to do without looking inside, but the word machatzis is memches tzadik yud taf. So the famous Gra, he says that the tzadik is in the middle, and tzadik represents tztaka, and we have the letters on each side of tztaka. So on the furthest ends, right, is the mem on one end and the taf on the other end. That spells meis. Closest to the tzaddik is ches and yud, that spells chai. So it's a remiss, the idea that tztaka tatzil mimaves. Where you have tztaka, and next to it, close by, is the chai, is the life, and at the end is the meis. So how does that apply over here? So it says in the pasuk, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen, heishiv es chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He took away my anger, Hashem says. Now chamasi is ches mem taf yud. The inner letters there is the opposite. Is mace is next to each other, and at the two ends is ches and yud, is chai. So the mace is close, and the chai is at the end. So what did Pinchas do? His heshiv es chamasi, he turned it around and took where the mace is close by and took it apart, so there should be a peace and the end of the plague. Also, I point out bekano es kinasi. Hashem said, my kina, as opposed to what? As opposed to Pinchas' kina, meaning he didn't do it for ulterior motives. He did it for Hashem entirely. Hashiv es chamasi, Hashem says. Why might I think that he would have some other motives? Because Zimri, who is he contesting? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was related to Pinchas. Right, Pinchas ben Elazar. Who was Pinchas' father? Elazar. Elazar's father was Aaron. Aaron's brother was Moshe. So it comes out that Moshe was Pinchas' father's uncle. And therefore, Mishpacha. So, Zimri is contesting my father's uncle. Ah, so maybe there would have been some personal vendetta he was taking care of. No, Hashem says, Ms. Meid, that Kano is Kina Si. It's my Kina. He had nothing to do with himself. It was totally altruistic. Okay. It says, Lechein Emor, Hinini Nosen Lo Es Brisi Shalom. So the very nice Mesha Chachma over here explains, what's this Lechein Emor? So the Pasuk says, Vayira Yaakov Meod Vayetzer Lo. Yaakov Avinu was upset, he was scared, he was worried. Why? Because he was scared of Esav. He was going to meet up with Esav, so he was scared. So why was he scared? It says, Kosh Baruch Hu promised him that everything's going to be okay. So Gemara tells us, Shema Yigramachet. He was worried that, fine, he got a promise, but maybe he sinned, and because of that he wasn't worthy of the promise anymore, and therefore he was scared of Esav. So the question is asked that we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises something for the good, except for once in history, he never goes back, never reneges. Whenever Hashem promises for the good, it's for sure going to happen. So here, Yaakov got a promise for the good. So what was he worried about? Hashem Yigro Mechei, it doesn't matter. Hashem makes a promise for the good, doesn't go back. So the Tzlach brings down, so the Meshachach brings this also, that based on the Rambam. And that's as follows. That when do we say that a nevuah that Hashem says for the good never goes back? That's only if it was said to a Navi to be told to people, right? To be spread. Would be spread. So once Hashem speaks to a Navi and says, go tell Bnei Yisrael, da da da, whatever, and he goes, tells it, that's it. Now it can't go back. However, if Hashem just tells the person himself, the Navi himself, and that's that, ends there, and then tell him to tell others, so then it could go back. This rule only applies to nevuah that's to be spread. So says the Meshachach. So Mimele, now he says, it's beautiful. That's why, first of all, Yaakov was scared. Because Hashem didn't give him a nevuah to go tell others. It was a nevuah was for him. He protected him. So that's not something that can't go back. It could go back. Therefore, he's worried. Shemar Yigrom Achet. Over here, though, that's why Hashem wanted to make sure that this is a nevuah, that's a good thing, that's never going to, Hashem's never going to renege on. So therefore, Hashem didn't just tell Pinchas personally. He dafka told Moshe, and told Moshe to tell Yeshua. Therefore, lachain emor. Moshe, I want you to go tell it. Because once you're going to go tell it, then it'll be a nevuah that I'll never be able to go back on. It'll be nevuah forever. That this brisi shalom is going to be for ever and ever. I won't be able to go back on it. That's why that's the emor, says the Meshech Chachma. So I was thinking, based on this, to maybe give another answer to the famous midrash that there's much Torah spoken about, and that is the midrash on the Shiksedra that says on that that Hashem gave Hinei Nusen Prisi Shalom Bedin Hu Sheitol Scharo. It was midrash that the Pinchas Bedin Hu, it was Bedin, he deserves Sushar. So everybody asks the question, what is that supposed to mean? He deserves the schar, and Hashem wasn't going to give it to him, but Hashem said, yeah, I'm going to give it to him. He's deserving the schar, he has to get the schar. What's this? Bedinu shekabel schar. Everybody asks the question. So I was thinking, perhaps based on this Meshachach, we can answer, give another answer. Right? And that is, that Bedin Ushiyatah, meaning, because had Hashem told Pinchas himself, let's say, I'm going to give you the Brisi Shalom, then Hashem could take it away. Because it can be B'tanai, because it wasn't the Nevuah told to others. So Mele said, no, he told him to tell Moshe, to tell Pinchas, but Mele, this is something that can't go be right. Therefore, Bedin Ushiyatah, she told Schara. Bedin, because he can't go back on it, because it was with the Emor. Holy. Okay, another very nice answer to this midrash, difficult midrash, from the Divrei Shaul. Others say similar. It's based on the Chazal that say Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Al Malek. Okay, that Hashem doesn't pay for mitzvahs in this world. So one reason for that is based on the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem that tells us that if a person regrets doing a mitzvah, called Toha al Rishonos, the person, let's say, did a mitzvah, and then he regrets it, he goes, I wish I never would have done that mitzvah. So what happens? So then that mitzvah gets totally erased if he never did it. So Mele, we can understand, it's clear why there can't be reward for mitzvah in this world. Why? Because let's say, I put on tefillin last week. Okay? And then Hashem rewarded me in this world and gave me a reward. And then what happens? And then a week later I said, I wish I never would have put on tefillin last week. So then what happens? It gets erased. But I got rewarded. So I'm overdraft. Right? I got rewarded and I shouldn't because I regretted it. So mainly, as long as the person's alive, he can always regret the mitzvah. Hashem can't pay him in this world for the mitzvah because he might regret it. He can only pay him in the next one. Fine. However, the Rambam says that this applies, the idea of Shechar Mitzvah, Ayim Aleika, only applies to Mitzvahs Ben Adam La Mako, but not for Mitzvahs Ben Adam La Chavera. According to this, it's verse out beautifully. Why? Because fine, like we said, okay, I'm get paid for putting on film, I regret, I got paid for nothing, etc. That's because Ben Adam Lamach. But Ben Adam Lachavero, what happens, I do you a favor. I helped you, I carried your bags up the stairs for you yesterday, right? I did a mitzvah, okay? Now, even if I regret that mitzvah, right, and the kilu, it's like I never did the mitzvah. Well, Amaisa, you got the tova, finish. And that, Hashem can't take it away. You got my help yesterday, I made things easier for you, the chesed was done, and that can never be taken away. So Mele, even if I would regret, it's not going to affect it. So therefore, mitzvah is bein adam lechavero. Hashem could pay in this world. And that's why the Rambam says in his Peiros and Mishnah, it's the beginning of Peah, Seches Peah, where it says, these are a list of Ben Adam L'Chaveros. Because these are things that Hashem could pay in this world and does. Because it doesn't matter if you regret them, this Chesed or whatever it was done. So Mimele, now let's go back to over here. What did Pinchas do? Okay, he killed Zimri and Kozbi, which, okay, it could be an element of Ben Adam Lamachon, but definitely there was an element of Ben Adam Lachavero, because he stopped the plague. Right? It was a plague. People were dying. He killed the couple, and then, that was it. The plague stopped. So he did a big tova for Am Yisrael. Mele Ben Adam Lachavero, we said, Hashem could pay in this world. Because even if Chas V'Chalila, Pinchas would regret what he did, but Lamaisa, he still, stopped, because of him, people stopped dying. Chesed was done. So Mele, he could get paid in this world. Therefore, that's the Midrash, Bedin Hu Shito Schara. He deserves the Schar, because it was a mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chavir. Okay. Also similar a little bit, the Chasam Sofer says, that it brings the Avos to Rabbi Nassim, that says once when Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was caught by the government and he was taken out, was going to be taken out to be killed. So he was thinking, what did I do to deserve this? Well, what did I do wrong? Obviously, things don't happen for no reason. And if this decree is against me, there must be for some reason. He was thinking, couldn't figure it out. Finally, his Talmid, Rabbi Shmuel, was also going to be taken out to be killed. He said, Rebbe, you look a little bit worried. What's going on? So he told him, I don't know why this is happening to me. So he says, Rebbe, Ritzon Chasha Amir Lachalev, can I tell you the Davar? Can I tell you something maybe? So he said, yeah, more. Go ahead and tell me. So he said, maybe when you're sitting in Darshaning and Har Abayis, and Kol HaChlutzin Shebi Yisrael, Yoshvim Lefanech, and all the populace of Yisrael, they're all sitting there listening, Shema Zachar Datcha, maybe a little bit, you felt obviously a slight amount of shtickle guy over there. All these people listening to me, this multitude of Israel listening to me speak, wow. Maybe that caused you a little bit of gaiva. So he said, Nichamtan, he says, you're right, that's probably it. Probably felt a shtickle gaiva, and that's why I deserve it. So we see from here that, come on, Rashi Meganiel, all the Torah that he taught and was teaching, right? Okay, so he felt a little bit of gaiva. We see that, sometimes a little bit of gaiva can destroy a lot. Mimele over here, Pinchas, he did a tremendous thing over here by killing Zimri and Kozbi, but he didn't have gaiva. Why? Because Lahefech, what happened after he killed? They were Mevazim also, Rashi says, right? They were making fun of him. That they said, you come from, Yisro, your father is married to Yisro's daughter, who fattened these eagles from Borodah, etc. They're making fun of him. So Mele, he got bizyonis for what he did. He didn't covet. So Mele, since he didn't have any covet over here, it's not a problem of having any gaiva. Mele, vidin hu yisri tal scharo, says the Chacham Sofer, he deserves completely the schar. Okay. Next, find interesting the actual Maisa of Pinchas is brought down at the end of last week's Seder, okay, and there there's no mention of the name of the person who did it, Zimri, right? It just says Vayavoachar Ish Yisrael Elokuba, etc. They call him Ish Yisrael in last week's Seder. And then here, now Pinchas being rewarded, etc. And then it says, "Beferes v'shem ish Yisrael amukash v'kast midyanis Zimri ben Salun." He said, "Why all of a sudden we're mentioning him and her name? Why? Until now he was not mentioned. Why? Then he wasn't. Now all of a sudden, yes." So Rav Zalman Saratskin, that's all, says that the sin of Zimri was very, very serious. You know, terrible, terrible chilul Hashem. Here he's taking this Goyish woman, living with her, everybody knew about it, and it started with him going against Moshe Rabbeinu, said, took on Moshe, hey, Moshe Rabbeinu, can I take this woman? And he said, no. He says, oh yeah, well you took, daughter of Yisro, etc., Midianite, etc., etc. And he was Moshe, contesting Moshe Rabbeinu, doing this terrible act, living with this Goyish woman, terrible, terrible thing. As a result, the Torah didn't want to make mention of Zimri in last week's Sedra because Shem Rishayim Yirkav. You know, we don't want to mention the shame of Rishayim. It's an interesting thing today, different context, but it says that when a person says over something in the name of a person who's not alive anymore, right, that Sifsav Dovos Bekeber, his lips move in the Keber. So I forgot the name, maybe the Chida, I don't remember, that the same thing holds true about Rishayim, that if you mention the Rasha also, so that it could be a shtichel kapara for him. And therefore, that's why we say Shem Rishayim Yirkav, we don't want to mention the shame of a Rasha, we don't want to give him the possibility of a kapara at all. Therefore, that's why we don't want to mention his name. Anyways, so what happened? Zimri did a terrible thing. We don't want to mention his name. Shem Rishayim Yirkav. I saw him in the beginning of this week, said he's mentioned all of a sudden. It's because the concept we mentioned actually a couple times before. And that is that because of what he, although a terrible thing he did, a Kiddush Hashem came out of it afterward. Right? Pinchas killed them and took them and carried them on a thing, showed everybody, and the plague miraculously stopped, and all these tremendous Kiddush Hashem came from it. So because of Zimri, since he was the cause of a Kiddush Hashem, even though in a negative way, but still, so therefore, now he deserves to have his name mentioned. So we said there's a Kiddush Hashem that happens in any case. It's a matter, is it going to happen al yadcha or al gavcha? You know, is it because of you on your back or because of through you? Right? You can do it in a positive way. Okay. Next. Well, we find a strange thing in Per Kaf Vav Pasuk Yud. We have the names of the Mishpachas mentioned. And then all of a sudden, we're mentioning the different Mishpachas, stuck in the middle over there, say, Ubnei Eliyav Nemuel Vidasan Vaviram. Okay, the sons of Eliyav Nemuel, Dasan Vaviram. And then, who Dasan Vaviram created Asher Yitzu al Moshe, that went against Moshe and Aaron, Badas Korach, Patsusam al Hashem, but Yiftach Aaron says, Piav, Divlao Sam is Korach, but Mosaidan, the land swallowed them up, Achola Eish as a Chamishim, when the Chamishim a time Eish, that's when the Eish burnt up to 250 people, Vayulanes, Ubnei Korach Lomes. What is this stuck in between over here? We're mentioning the families. All of a sudden this whole thing is opened up again, Adasan Aviram and all of them. What's going on here? So the Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara in Megillah says Darshan Zalik says, who Achashverosh says, who Dasan Vaviram? They were Berishas, the Rishasam from Mitchila Atzof. They were Rishayim right from the beginning. As we see, we know throughout the, since they come on the scene in Shmos, they're always doing bad things. So Lehefech, you know, questions, how did they get last so long? You know, they shouldn't have, some of Forshim asked, how was it that they left Mitzrayim even? We said all the Rishayim died in Machas Choshech, and Asan and Vir, they keep going. You know, they get out of Mitzrayim, and in the Midbar, and, doing again bad things to Moshe Rabbeinu the whole time, and they just go until finally here they get swallowed up. Well, how did they last so long? So, what does it say? So it says, I'm sorry, where's Medag? It says over here, they got swallowed up, Vayulines. It was like a sign, or like a miracle, meaning that a miracle happened to them, which again, maybe it was a tremendous nace, which was that the 250 men, as the Pasuk says, were burnt. They were burnt up, they died. Korach, they say, whereas from this Nisrafim and the Nibla, he was burnt and swallowed up. But Dasan and Aviram, they were not burnt. They got swallowed up live. Unbelievable thing. Alive, they got swallowed up. That's a huge nace. So Mela, they were kept alive to bring out this nace over here. So he says, so you know, we see from here that, sometimes, the Rasha, he's laughing, You know, he said, look at me. You know, they're probably laughed. You know, we did all kinds of bad things and we got out of Egypt. Ha ha. And throughout, they did this and nothing. Yeah, nothing happened to us. We're great. We're fine. You know, no problem. And they don't realize it was all a setup so they can be the Eulanes over here at the time of when the earth swallowed them up. Similarly, the idea with why the Maisa Korach is mentioned over here, the Zecher or Zachar David, he says that what was one of the main things Korach did wrong? He contested the Kahuna. That's an iron, that's an Kahuna. And now Pinchas over here was inaugurated as a new Kohen. So therefore, the Torah mentions over here what happened to the people that contested the Kahuna. They say, look, I just made a new Kohen now. Don't start up with the, you know, you see what happens when you start up with the Kahuna. And that's why we mentioned here the Mice of Korach. Okay. Fine. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu in Perkav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, he asked Hashem for somebody to lead the people. Here, okay. So he says, "V'idaber Moshe al Hashem, yifkod Hashem al kiruchos l'chol basar ish al eida, somebody asher yetzei lifnehem, asher yavo lifnehem, asher yotzim, asher yaviim, etc." So they touch up the pasuk based on the Beis Yitzchak says this based on the famous vort of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So the vort is very famous. On the Chazal, it says be'ikvat the Meshicha, just before the Mashiach comes, pnei hador k'pnei hakelev. That the face of the generation when time Mashiach comes is going to be like that of a dog. So with all kinds of perushim, what does that mean? Going to be like a dog. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that if you notice when a dog, the master leads a dog, so what happens? A dog is walking in front and walking, you know. So somebody looking from the outside would think that the dog is leading the master. Right? He's walking and, you know, the master's running after this dog as if the dog... So how do we know that it's the opposite way around? When you get to the crossroads. Because when they get to the crossroads, then the dog looks behind and wants to get a hint from the master. Where does he want to go? Right or left? So then we know, it's really the master that's running the show, right? Not the dog. So he says, Pnei Ador K'Pnei HaKelev means that we're going to have, at the time of the Mashiach, we're going to have leaders like in a democracy, whereas they're not real leaders that do what they know is right. They want to make the people happy. So we see all the time, they make polls or whatever to see what people want, and then they fall. So they're like the dog that looks like he's the leader, but looks behind and wants to see what the master wants. So too, the leader is like a dog that he looks like he's leading, but he's always turning behind to see, hey, where do the people want to go? That's where I'm going to lead them. So he can get the vote. So Mela, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for here, a real leader. Right? And therefore it says, Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, but not that he's going to go out, you know, in front of them, but then go behind them and say, hey, you know, what do you guys want? But no, Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, Asher Yavo Lifnehem. He's going to be constantly in front of them. Not like the Pnei HaKelev is going to, you know, look behind or be behind and want to see where they're going. He wants a real leader. Okay, so end off one last little vort. It says, Pasuk Kaf Gimel over here. Says the Bnei Yisachar liyashuv mishpachad yishuvi. Okay, fine. So the Rashi says that who is this yashuv, right? Spelled yud shin vav beis. Rashi says it's Yov. Yov, the Mishpacha of Yov, and that was mentioned, the Yov from Yotze Mitzrayim, and from Yorde Mitzrayim. And therefore, they were mentioned then, and all these ones that are mentioned now were the same ones from the Yorde Mitzrayim. And that says who Yashuv is. Yashuv is really Yov. So the question is, why the change of name? Why his name was Yov, and now Yashuv? Why the change? So the Chidah says that Yov, he was the son of Yisachar, right? He mentioned one of the sons of Yisachar. So Yov was complaining to his father. Why? Because there was an idol, an Eliel, that was called by the exact same name, Yov. So he said, so Yov came to his father, Yisachar, and said, Abba, I don't want to have the same name as this idol, Yov. You know, it's not nice. So his father had pity on him and said, fine, I'll tell you what. I have an extra sheen in my name, right? Yisachar is mentioned, is spelled Yud and Sin Chafresh. Because I have an extra sheen, I'll take out the sheen and I'll give it to you. So Mele, Yov, after the Yud, the sheen was inserted and turned into Yashuv. That's how we got the extra sheen. Mele, so that's why when we pronounce Yisachar, we don't really, it should be pronounced Yisachar. Why we only pronounce Yisachar? Because one sin was really given to Yov to become Yeshuv. And the Nachlas Yaakov says this explains the minhag. We don't have this minhag, but there is, actually, interestingly enough, there is a minhag which when the Torah is read, until Parshas Pinchas, Yisachar's name is mentioned, it's read Yisachar. Only from Parshas Pinchas on it's read Yisachar. According to this, it's beautiful. Otherwise, say, well, why Mapito Dafka Parshas Pinchas? What does it have to do with anything? Going is very good. Because Dafka Parshas Pinchas, that's Yov, became Yashuv. He gave him the extra sin, and he came from Yisachar to Yisachar. V'yizoicha to the Gula Shlema, v'yimhera v'yamein.